Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot. It's a double substitution this week. No Steve Palmer or Dave Clark. So it's myself, Warren Ashurst, joined by James Mason to run you through this week's golf action. And of course, we'll reflect on what happened last week as well with a real big surprise, you could say, in terms of the US PGA Tour. Before we get to that, James, how's things?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Good to be back on. I think we'll obviously get into the reviews and talk a bit how Steve might be feeling after last week's results. But yeah, no, I'm ready to step in for him and hopefully pick up some winners.
And I think James is joining us for the first time since he's become a dad for the second time as well. So big congratulations to James. I'm sure all the Sweet Spot regulars will be offering their congratulations as well. Just the one tournament to look forward to today, but plenty, of course, to look forward to and look back at from last week. Well, just a reminder, of course, that the Sweet Spot is sponsored by SBK, who are the official betting partner of the DP World Tour. SBK is the perfect home for all your golf bets this season with weekly boosts and some of the sharpest odds around. You can make the most of the Sweet Spot selections with SBK. Get £60 in free bets when you place your first £20 bet, and we'll have more details on their special offer this week a little bit later on in the show. But time to review what happened last week across the world of golf, and we'll start off with the ISPS Handa Senior Open, which was won in impressive fashion by Jerry Kelly, who finished on 10 under par, won by two shots over three players, Matt Gogel, Darren Fitchart and Cameron Percy. Jerry Kelly, without being too unkind, James, certainly knocking on a little bit these days, but really impressive performance from him.
Yeah, really impressive. What is he, 59? So certainly well into the senior tour days. But yeah, it's good from him. It was a solid performance. Like you said, he held off some good players behind him, Darren Fitchart being one of those, because he still mixes it on the DP World Tour now and again, does the South African. So you've got to give credit to Kelly for just holding his nerve, really. It's his third senior major as well. So again, that's impressive on his CV. And you look at some of the others that are in behind. Stephen Gallagher was on 6 under. He had Zach Johnson. I know he was fancy going into it. He was tied 7th along with Boo Weekly. So he's held off some good players there. So yeah, fair credit to Kelly. Finishing on 10 under par in what was a difficult course as well. I think he's done really well.
Yeah, Steve, of course, selected Zach Johnson as his main pick for the Senior Open. So if you were on him each way, you may well have got something back for a tied 7th finish. So congratulations to Jerry Kelly for winning the Senior Open. As far as the big story, though, of last week is concerned, well, that came at the 3M Open. James mentioned earlier that Steve might be berating himself this week because he's been talking about Jackson Koivun over the last few months, to be honest with you, that he's going to be a player to watch. It was only his third tournament as a professional, and he came out on top with a three-shot win. Another second place for Scottie Scheffler, which we'll probably get to in a moment. But Jackson Koivun, at 21 years of age, James, is certainly going to be a player that we're going to be talking about over the next sort of two decades, you imagine.
Yeah, no, absolutely agree. I think there was a sense of, do you believe the hype with Jackson Koivun? I know Steve went in on him saying he's a really good player and kept tipping him up. And then he didn't do it last week, I think purely because he wasn't sure about his fitness levels, I think is what the reasoning was for Steve not going in for Koivun and tipping him up again. But yeah, I mean, it's huge credit to him. He had that miscut at the John Deere Classic. I think that was maybe where the injury issues came from. He then had the tied 10th at the ISCO Championship, and then, you know, backs it up and going and picking up his maiden win on the PGA Tour at the 3M Open. And not only doing it, but doing it in impressive fashion, 25 under, but when you've got Scottie Scheffler chasing you down, when you've got Hideki Matsuyama, when you've got Brian Harman, those three are all major champions, and he's managed to hold them off at such a young age, especially with his third round, which was a 61 as well. So yeah, he certainly looks like a huge talent for the future. If you think about everything, future Ryder Cups, all of that for the USA team. So certainly very exciting to see how he does. Now it's the fact that he's got his win. How does he handle all this media attention, all this pressure on him? It'd be really interesting to see how he does in his next start.
Yeah, it could be one of two things, couldn't it? Because as you say, there'll be a lot more, I suppose, scrutiny on him having won this title as early as he is. But also as well, it should give him a massive amount of confidence that he can see off those players that you mentioned and win on the PGA Tour at the age of 21. There aren't many players that can do that.
No, there's not. I suppose with Koivun, he's not got any scars really yet, does he? So other players that could have been in that position that have maybe missed out before, And if they hadn't managed to get the win, you'd be saying, oh, well, do they have the ability, do they have the quality to get over the line? Well, Koivun didn't have that, so maybe that helped him. It was just, you know, straight into it, early days of professional career, and he just is going out and enjoying playing his golf. I think that's the main thing. Hopefully, he keeps his kind of game and his swing as it is. You can see some players who have all the success, but then they decide to tweak and change something in their swing. I mean, Victor Hovland was a perfect example of that. When he won events a couple of years ago, didn't he, at the end? And then he decided to change his swing coach and change how he hit the ball, and he just went off the rails. So, yeah, I think Koivun, it's just making sure he's got a really good team around him that keep him grounded, and just say to him, look, you focus on playing your golf, we'll handle the other side of things. We'll handle your press, your media, the responsibilities that you've got to do. We'll tell you kind of where you have to be. You just focus on doing the golf.
Yeah, I mean, Steve described him as probably the best amateur since Tiger Woods. He's the only player to ever get a clean sweep of all four major collegiate awards in the same season, which, again, you know, just highlights when you think of how many players have come through the college process in the USA. His tied 23rd finish at the US Open as well was another indication that he is a huge ability, and certainly Jackson Koivun is going to be one to watch for the remainder of this PGA Tour season. Let's look at the man who finished in second now, James, because Scottie Scheffler will be frustrated because he's probably given himself too much to do going into the final rounds at the moment. And, you know, people are looking and saying, oh, has he got that ability to win tournaments? He's finished second or third so many times in the last few weeks. But it does show also a massive level of consistency in his game.
Yeah, it's the consistency. But for Scheffler, it will be a huge disappointment that he hasn't managed to pick up the win. I mean, it was quite a surprise, I think, that he decided to play in the 3M Open after the Open at Royal Birkdale. A lot of the sort of the leading players in the world, they took the week off, but no, he came here, and I think it was in that mindset to try and get the win, and he was heavily fancy going into it. But you mentioned that he gave himself too much work to do in that last round. It was the second round where he hit a 70 and he was just too far off the pace. Obviously, he still managed to, you know, have a charge over the weekend and get himself into second position and three shots off the pace. But it's that second round, the round of 70, that's where the three shots is. It's another really good performance from him. It's another consistent performance. But until he gets that next win, there will just be that little niggling factor in the back of his head. I'm sure it will come at some point, and he'll probably do it in the FedEx Cup in one of the really big, big events. But at the moment, he'll just be a little bit annoyed that he just can't get that W.
And for golf backers who are looking for a bigger price, it's probably quite, I would say, a positive thing to see that he can't get over the line at the moment. So there are other options out there, of course, when it comes to your betting on the PGA Tour. Just to flag up a couple of other players as well who finished tied third at the 3M Open, Denny McCarthy and Hideki Matsuyama, who shot 64, 66 and 65, 64 respectively over the course of the weekend. Potentially two players to also keep an eye out over the next couple of weeks. Anything else that you took from the 3M Open, or was it all about Jackson Koivun for you, James?
Yeah, it was all about Koivun, and it was all Koivun versus Scheffler on that last day, wasn't it? Even though Scheffler was still a few off the pace, it was about those two going into it. So, yeah, that was the big story of the day. We won't take away from Koivun and his achievements by sort of delving into others.
Well, we'll turn our attentions then now to LIV Golf, because it was LIV UK, of course, at the JCB in Staffordshire. And well, there was a sign of things to come at the Open, because Lucas Herbert, of course, was outstanding at Birkdale and came very close indeed to lifting the claret jug. And then a week or so later, he wins on the LIV Tour with an amazing 30 under par total, 61, 66, 69, 62 across the four rounds to win by six shots. I'd say it was a beast of a course, the JCB as well. And Lucas Herbert's made it look like a pitch and putt at times, James.
I mean, he has 11 under on the first round, 10 under on the last round. With how he started and how he finished, he could have some sort of middling rounds in between. But even a 6 under and a 3 under on round three, it's really, really impressive from him. So yeah, he's completely blown the field away. Tyrrell Hatton was second on 24 under, so he's six shots off. And then you got DeChambeau in next. He's nine shots off Herbert. So really, you've just got to doff your cap to the Australian and say, fair enough, you deserve to win that one. His second LIV title, so he's certainly enjoying his time since he's made the switch, but how long the switch lasts for, we still don't really know the future of LIV Golf, but from what you hear coming out from Martin Keimer a few days ago before LIV UK, said there's major, major doubts that they're going to have the team championship at the end of the season. So, yeah, I think for Herbert, I think you're trying to fill your boots before LIV probably folds at the end of this year.
Yeah, it's looking that way at the moment. I know that Tom McKibben was on the wish list of Steve Palmer last week. He finished in a tie for 20th at 6 under par. Three rounds in the 70s probably ruined his chances before a final round 69 on the Sunday. Don't know if you saw an incident as well, James. And again, it's one of, I know it's your bugbear, it's also a bugbear for me as well. People not shouting four when they hit the ball awry off the tee. Have you seen the incident where Ian Poulter nearly got hit by DeChambeau?
Yeah, I've seen that one. And to be fair, Poulter goes and make birdie on the hole, doesn't he? He hits an approach shot and then he rolled in the birdie. But yeah, I saw the incident, then I saw the reaction of DeChambeau on the tee. But his reaction was sort of the shoulders go down, it's, oh, nobody's told me. It's like, well, come on, you know how far you hit the ball. You can probably see players further down, and then it's always somebody else to blame with DeChambeau. Obviously, what happened at the Open in the theatrics of, I might not play into the weekend. It's, oh, just get over yourself. And he said as well, DeChambeau, if LIV folds, I'll just continue with my YouTube channel. Absolutely fine. I don't think anybody would care if DeChambeau does not come back onto the PGA Tour.
Well, I do think if any of the Sweet Spot regulars haven't seen it yet, they need to have a look on YouTube and have a look at exactly what happened, because Ian Poulter was literally a couple of centimetres away from getting struck on the head with the ball, and he certainly wasn't happy, as you could understand. And Bryson DeChambeau, not really the flavour of the month, I'd suggest, at the moment. Just a quick word as well on Cameron Smith, who finished fourth. He was a huge way behind Lucas Herbert, 13 shots, but much better from the Australian of late. He looks like he's finding a bit of form, James, at the moment.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's one of those accounts. Smith also, though, he made comments when he went to LIV, and he's not that bothered about a busy schedule, but it was always the timing with Cameron Smith going to LIV after he won the Open, and then he makes the switch. And okay, whether he's happy because he's managed to get all this money since he's gone over there, and he'll be settled for life now, and he can pick and choose sort of lower events, maybe go on the Australasia Tour at some point, I don't know. But he is starting to get a little bit more involved in the tournaments, you know. Obviously, you get some world ranking points for the LIV events now as well. He's, what, 126th in the world now, so he's getting a bit better. But again, it's one of those, does he have that desire? If LIV folds, will he want to come back? Does he want the determination? I don't think he's got it. I don't think he'll come back personally to the PGA Tour or make a beeline to do that, because I just don't think golf's the be-all and end-all for him.
No, you feel like you really need to kind of commit yourself to it 100% to be able to go back to a tour that you've left in the first place. And, you know, you look at the likes of John Rahm, say, for example, or a Tyrrell Hatton, and you think, yeah, actually, I can see them, you know, paying the fines, taking the hit, and then going back to the tour and battling it out for majors. But yeah, I get your point in terms of Cameron Smith. That wraps up then the LIV event for last week. Just the one tournament, of course, to look forward to this week, and that is on the US PGA Tour. It is the Rocket Classic, and SBK have a 20% winnings boost on the Rocket Classic this week. So it's about time that we have a look at what James thinks about this week's tournament. And very nearly called it the Rocket Mortgage Classic, because it used to be called that for a number of years. Changed last year to just the Rocket Classic, taking place in Detroit, James.
Yeah, Detroit, but this will be the final Rocket Classic. The sponsors, they've not renewed for the tournament from after this one. So as things stand, this is the very last Rocket Classic, so a chance for whoever wins it to make a little bit of history. It has generally been played at one of the easiest courses over the seven editions that we've had. You've had a score of 18 under or better has been needed to win. You've needed to be in the 20s in five of the 7 years as well. So it's all been about making birdies, about the power hitters. There's been a running theme at Detroit Golf Club. You know, Aldrich Potgieter, the South African, he won last year. You look at some of the other players on the Roll of Honours, you've got Bryson DeChambeau, Tony Finau. So it's players that give it a good whack have benefited here. However, completely different this year. Not saying there won't be a lot of birdies, but they've had a $16 million renovation of this course since they had the 2025 edition, which is a little bit of a shame that this is going to be the last tournament, because you probably won't get to see this course that much, and unless they bring other tournaments here or create a new tournament. But it's gone from a par 72 to a par 70 for this edition. So you've lost two of the par 5s, 7th and the 17th. They're now par 4s and they're measuring 505 and 537 yards. You've got a bit more length on some of the par 4s around the course as well, so that should make it a little bit more difficult. The bunkers are deeper. The greens are bigger, which obviously can make them easy to hit, but it allows for more challenging pin positions, which I think could be good, so they can try and sort of limit how easy the scoring conditions are. You've got tall, wispy fescue grass as well, which is around the fairways, around the edges of the bunkers as well. So there is more of a premium on accuracy for this one. So I think it'll be very interesting to see. Not saying that the big hitters, the bombers, can't score well here, but if they go astray with some of their drives, then they'll be in trouble. Whereas in the last seven editions, they could just go wherever they wanted and they'd probably have an easy shot out and they could get it onto the green. Don't think they'll be able to do it that easy this time. So be interesting to see how the players adapt to it. Putting will still be key. It has been in the last 7 years, so expect that, you know, expect a hot putter to be required for whoever wins this one. Weather forecast looks generally good as well, so it'll be interesting to see how the scoring will be. The FedEx Cup race as well is something that you've got to bear in mind for this tournament as well. You've got this week, and then you've got the Wyndham Championship next week. They're the last two before you have that top 70 cutoff when they head for the St. Jude. So there will be players that are outside that cutoff line at the moment that will be needing a good week this week and potentially next week as well.
Yeah, we'll have a look at the latest on the PGA Tour money list a little bit later on. But James might not have mentioned this so far, but I do seem to remember that Aldrich Potgieter, who won last year, you backed him a couple of weeks before and he lost a playoff. So you kind of knew that it was on the horizon. You've had two winners when you've stepped in for Steve so far this year. It could be maybe a sign that there's another one on the way this week in the Rocket Classics. James, how many picks have you got then for this week's tournament?
I've got 5 picks for this one. I think it's a very open tournament, which is why I've had a few stabs at this one.
Just looking at the SBK odds list for the Rocket Classic, Cameron Young leads the field. It's the likes of Chris Gotterup, Xander Schauffele and Jackson Koivun, last week's winner up there, along with the likes of Siwoo Kim and Wyndham Clark as well. So quite a few big names. No Rory McIlroy or Scotty Scheffler this week, but plenty of big names taking part in the tournament. Who is the first of your selections then, James?
Yeah, so we're going for Wyndham Clark as the headline selection. Now, he's 4th in the FedEx Cup, so he's absolutely assured of making it into the playoffs and towards the Tour Championship as well. But what a few months it's been for the American. He won the CJ Cup Byron Nelson in May. That was his 4th PGA Tour title. He then went 3rd at the Memorial, tied 11th at the Canadian Open. So the form was continuing. Went into the US Open, managed to lift that trophy for the second time. Again, showing how impressive and consistent that he's been. He even won that US Open as well without the backing of the US crowd. He's not the most liked player, is Wyndham Clark. But that all stems from a couple of years ago when he smashed up a locker at the end of one of the US Opens, I think it was. And he smashed up a locker room and, yeah, they weren't happy with it. I think he got banned from the club and made to sort of pay for the fines. But it hasn't really bothered him. So he won that second US Open. He was then tied 5th at the Travellers, tied 13th at the Scottish Open. The rare blip was when he missed the cut at the Open. Not too fussed about that one, to be honest, though. He's had a break since that Royal Birkdale outing. Should have refreshed him nicely, I think, for this end-of-season run-in, starting with the Rocket Classic. You know, he's got form figures of 17th, 8th, and a missed cut at Detroit Golf Club. But I actually think the renovations to the course will benefit him this week, because you're looking for a player who's pretty solid from tee to green. Well, he's 15th in strokes gained in that category this season on the PGA Tour. He's 17th in approach, so he's navigating his way really well around the courses. And the putter, it's been red hot this season for him. He's first in putting average and birdie or better conversion percentage as well, so that's a good one going into this. He's third in one putt percentage and he's fifth in putts per round, so there's absolutely no doubt that that club is something that he's really, really comfortable with. And another interesting point as well, when I was delving into sort of the history and the stats of the tournament from last year, is that the biggest percentage of approach shots came from 150 to 175 yards. There was just under 20% of the approach shots came from there. Clark is 15th in that category on the PGA Tour this season. So just maybe a little nudge in the right direction again for him, but he's certainly a player that has got supreme confidence at the moment, and he wouldn't bet against him really getting another title.
I love his mindset as well. It's like, I don't care, you can boo me all you want, I'll just keep firing birdies basically and win events. And as you say, really good form at the moment, Wyndham Clark. So he is the first of five selections for James for the Rocket Classic. Who's pick number two, James?
Pick number two is Jake Knapp. Now again, FedEx Cup standing for him, he's 38th, so again, he's assured at the moment of really getting into the first event, probably the second as well, but just needs to elevate himself a little bit to get into the Tour Championship, but plenty of time to do that. Now Knapp, he was in great form towards the start of the season. He had just one missed cut in his first eight starts. He went 11th at the Masters as well, so you think everything's going well, but he hit a bit of a bad spell after that Augusta showing. He had three missed cuts, a 55th and a 74th in his next five events, but he bounced back to form last week. Quite impressed to see that he was tied 13th at the 3M Open. He drove the ball really, really well last week. He was 9th in strokes gained off the tee. So I think if he can maintain that form with the driver going into this tournament, then he'd be a real, real danger. He's already one of the most reliable players on the green. I mentioned Clark is a good putter. Well, Knapp is as well. He's 10th in putting average. He's 6th in strokes gained in that department. So no issues there. And he's also got a bit of form, Knapp, at the Rocket Classic. He was tied 4th on his second go last year, and he shot a 61 on day 2. I'm not sure whether we're going to get 61s and that kind of score with how the course is set up, but I still think someone could go and shoot a 63, 64, something like that. So Knapp is very capable, I think, of doing that. If, like I say, if you can keep the driver in check, stay on the straight and narrow, he's got the qualities, I think, to put in a strong challenge. And again, another player that can get in the mix.
Yeah, just a reminder that Jake Knapp, 11th at the Masters earlier this year. Going back to what you said about the course, James, as well, it's amazing that they've managed to spend all that money and do all this work, and yet they've managed to get it done in 12 months' time, so they're able to host the event again.
Yeah, no, it is incredible. It's, I think the work they've done, it's maybe not been sort of huge changes to it, but it's there. Another one they actually made is there was at the pond, I think they used to be in front of the 14th hole. It was the only water hazard on the course in front of the green. That's been taken away, but it's just loads of fescue and rough in front of it now. And yeah, again, it makes for quite, I think they've said they've done some of the changes with the bunkering and the fescue grass to try and make it a bit easier for the viewers as well when you're watching on TV, just to see the definitions and just for a bit of an easier watch, I would say. But it will make it tougher. All the greens, I think they've gone back to the original Pete Dye design of the greens as well, so there'll be undulations on them again, which I think makes being a good putter will be quite key this week as well. But yeah, it's certainly, when I looked into the tournament and I saw there was the renovation of the course, because I went in going, hitters, power hitters, yeah, that's what, yeah, I want, that's all I'm going for. And then sort of a spanner in the works with all this changes that have been done, but it will make for the course to be a lot more difficult, but I think it will be better along the course of time for it as well.
Maybe more of a strict test for the players this week. So we've had two US selections so far. Pick number three, James, is that another Stars and Stripes player?
It is indeed. There's a theme going here, but it's Jacob Bridgman is the third. And now FedEx Cup standing for him. He's 13th there. So again, absolutely fine. He's had a couple cracks at the Rocket Classic. He was 31st in 2024, 26th last year. But his game has improved since then, and he arrives as a PGA Tour winner as well. He won the Genesis Invitational in February. That was his signature event as well. So he held off the likes of Rory McIlroy, who was tied second there, and a host of the world's best players. So I think the fact he's been able to do that, kind of similar to Jackson Koivun at the 3M Open holding off Scottie Scheffler, but Bridgman's done it with several more of the world's world's top players in there, so there's no doubt about his mentality. His last start was at the Open, performed well on his debut in that major as well. He was tied 28, so again, he just seems to take to courses pretty well. He's 17th in strokes gained total this season, so he's been fairly consistent in all areas of his game. He's 7th in approaches as well, from 150 to 175 yards. I mentioned that little area. I think there'll be a lot of approach shots from there, as there was last year. There are no concerns over his putting. He's 1st in total putting, he's 3rd in strokes gained, and he's 4th in putting average. So that club is red hot, as it is for both of the earlier two selections as well. But yeah, Bridgman's certainly a player who, again, I think Bridgman, if he doesn't make the Ryder Cup team for the next one, it'll be the one after. But I think he's very much in the running, I think, in the reckoning for the next Ryder Cup.
Yeah, when you look at his record in the majors this year, tied 41st at the Masters, tied 39th at the US Open, and tied 28th at the Open Championship. Missed the cut of the PGA Championship, but for a player who's looking to try and get wins on the PGA Tour more consistently, he's won the Genesis Invitational earlier this year, then certainly he looks to be heading in the right direction. So Jacob Bridgman is the third pick for James this week for the latest PGA Tour event, the Rocket Classic. Who is pick number four, James?
Staying with the Stars and Stripes, but it's Chandler Phillips is the next pick. Now, he's 86th in the FedEx Cup. This is where Phillips and the next selection, they're both outside of that top 70 mark, so sort of a different approach with picking those players. But, you know, he's someone I think is putting in some, well, I think he can get into the top 70, but he's putting in some solid showings of late. He's had top 15 finishes at the Canadian Open, John Deere and the ISCO. And then he was tied 3rd at 3M Open last week. So again, he just seems to be hitting his stride right at the crucial time when he needs to be. The only blemish during the period was a miscut at the US Open. Again, I'm not too fussed about that. You know, that was a difficult major, so missing the cut, it's not that bad from him. He's improved, though, with each Rocket Classic showing as well. He missed the cut on his debut. He was then 67th, and then last year he was 13th. So getting used to sort of some of the intricacies of this course. He's not a power hitter, really. And again, the new look, the new setup could help him contend, I think, more this week. He's a terrific putter. He leads the PGA Tour in overall putting average and putts per round. So again, that club's absolutely fine. It's all about the irons for Phillips. If his approach play is good, and it has been in recent weeks, then you will see better results. And we've seen better results from him. So I think if he can keep the irons sharp, then he will definitely be a challenger this week because of how good he is on the greens and how good his putting is. But yeah, if those irons can be red hot, like they have been in recent weeks, then he definitely can get himself in the mix.
I had to scroll a long way down to find Chandler Phillips on the SBK list for the Rocket Open this week. And it is three figures available for the Rocket Classic, I should say, this week for Chandler Phillips. So certainly a big price. Are we looking any bigger for pick number five, James?
We are looking bigger for pick number five. You might have to scroll down a little bit further in the betting. But it's Lucas Glover. And now he's 92nd in the FedEx Cup. So he needs a couple of good showings this week and next week. So he needs to get himself going. He needs a couple of strong weeks. But just remember, Glover, 2023, if you do or you don't, he was outside of the FedEx Cup standings. He then won the Wyndham Championship to qualify for the playoffs. He then won the St. Jude. So he's no stranger to being able to put in a performance when he needs to do it at this time of year as well. And he has been putting in improved results as well. Tied 3rd at the John Deere, tied 5th at the ISCO Championship. Last week is a little bit disappointing, 57th place, but maybe just needs to get himself going again and get the focus back for this tournament. He is one of the most accurate drivers on tour. He's 5th in driving accuracy, so that club could really help him. Like I mentioned, it's a different course setup, so hitting the straight and narrow is a little bit more important, so he could benefit from that one. Now, approaches from 150 to 175 yards, he's 3rd in that category, so that's really good going into this tournament. The fact he's not one of the biggest hitters, though, there will be some shots and approaches, I think, for Glover that will go into the 175 to 200-yard approach, and he's 26th in that department as well. So from 150 to 200, he's been finding the greens more regularly than not and giving himself some birdie opportunities. It's the putter which has been the problem club for him. And it was the putter that was the problem club back in 2023. He made a change ahead of going into the Wyndham, won it, and the St. Jude. So I think if he can get the putter going this week, and it has warmed up slightly in two of the last three tournaments as well, when I mentioned his performance that he had at the John Deere and the ISCO, so he's doing all right, and he's putted well at this event in the past. He was fourth in 2023. That was his last time that he made the trip to Detroit Golf Club, so he's fine on these greens. Yeah, I think Glover... It was a big price when I was scrolling down for a player who was a multiple winner on the PGA Tour. I think he's definitely someone who could get himself in the running.
Yeah, and I do like to see like a sign of a player moving the right direction. I think Lucas Glover, 65 in the opening round last week, even though he went on, like you say, James, to finish in a tie for 57th, shows that there are low scores there. It's just getting that consistency together. And now, as we get into that crucial stage of the season and looking to move up those FedEx Cup standings, that Lucas Glover may well come into his own. So they are the five picks then for this week's Rocket Classic. And we'll remind you of the five picks from James a little bit later on. But as we've only got one tournament this week, we can have a quick look at how the standings are at the moment in the official money list on the PGA Tour. Scottie Scheffler currently top, despite only one victory so far in 2026. Cameron Young is second. Matt Fitzpatrick is third. Wyndham Clark and Colin Morikawa make up the top five. Maybe a little bit surprised to see that Rory McIlroy is down in sixth. The rest of the top ten is made up by Chris Gotterup, Sam Burns, Jacob Bridgman, who's amongst the picks for James this week, and Akshay Bhatia. So plenty of players that, you know, you could argue have not been up and around the top 10 of the money list over the last couple of years, James, but have had excellent seasons. And you look at players in particular like a Chris Gotterup or a Matt Fitzpatrick, who have won three times on tour this season.
Yeah, I mean, Gotterup, he's a stranger in Gotterup. It's kind of all or nothing at times from him. He either picks up the win or maybe doesn't, but he's certainly a player who will fancy his chances going into the playoffs in a couple of weeks' time. You look a bit further down the list as well, and there's one player who last year on the DP World Tour, he was really good, earned his PGA Tour card for this season, and that's Christopher Reitan. I mean, he looks a really, really good player. He seems to have, you know, a good head on his shoulders, a good attitude. He's really good on the greens as well as Reitan, so he's definitely someone I think you'd be watching out for. He's kind of taken over, not taken over, but sort of superseded Victor Hovland this season in terms of the players from the country. So yeah, I think Reitan's definitely someone to look out for. I mean, the amount of quality in the FedEx standings. You've got Ryan Gerrard, another player. Alex Fitzpatrick's in there as well. I mean, what a season he's had. Obviously, aided by the combination with his brother Matt when they won the Zurich Classic pairs event. But he's taken that opportunity that's been given towards him, and he's performing well. So yeah, it will be a really exciting end to the season on the PGA Tour.
It almost looks like there's a little bit of a changing of the guard at the moment, because if you scroll down the money list on the PGA Tour, you see players sort of hanging around the sort of top 40 area, of the likes of Adam Scott, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay amongst them, where, you know, they've had the success over the last sort of 10 years or so, but maybe slipping behind the pace of some of the younger players who are now coming into the equation. And I include Aaron Rye on that as well, because the Englishman really has come to the fore this year. 22nd in the standings on the money list at the moment on the PGA Tour. And if you look a little bit further up, Minwoo Lee in 17th. And Christopher Reitan, who's just been mentioned by James, in 14th. Ludwig Aubert is sat in 13th as well. And it's going to be an interesting sort of reflection on the season for Aubert, James, because there's been times when you feel like he's getting ever so close to winning that first major, and then there are times when he's almost dropped off a cliff this season.
Yeah, it's pretty strange with Aubert. Maybe this is just the hiatus season for him, potentially, or maybe he's put too much focus and pressure on the major championships instead of maybe trying to perform a little bit better in the regular tour events, in the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, if he makes the trip over there. You know, you need to have a bit of form and confidence and momentum, I think, going into the majors. And maybe Aubert just haven't really had that as much as he would have wanted. So yeah, for him, it's been a good season. He's picked up checks, hasn't he, for good top finish results, but hasn't quite been where he wants it to be. But again, you wouldn't rule him out just suddenly sparking into life and picking up a victory in one of these big events towards the end of the year.
And just before we get a recap on James's selections for this week's PGA Tour event, a quick word on the defending champion, because Tommy Fleetwood is currently 12th in the PGA Money list as things stand at the moment. He enjoyed such a good week at Birkdale in the Open, just couldn't quite get over the line and win that first major. But, you know, so much confidence that he gained from last year's win on the biggest stage on the PGA Tour, James, that you feel that Tommy Fleetwood was still heading in the right direction?
Still heading in the right direction. Obviously, to win the Tour Championship like he did for his first PGA Tour win was such a kind of the fingers up to the people who said he's not one of the best. If he hasn't won on the PGA Tour, then, you know, he can't classify him as one of the best golfers. Well, he is now. You know, his consistency is very good. It is just that major. I'd love to say confidently, yes, Fleetwood will win a major, but the longer it goes, the more you worry, and the more you worry that it could just become kind of Lee Westwood 2.0 in challenging in so many majors, coming so close, winning multiple times on the DP World Tour and winning on the PGA Tour, but not being able to get over the line. It could be that, unfortunately, for Fleetwood. Hopefully not. Hopefully there's a tournament along the way where he can manage to win it. But I wasn't too surprised to see that he didn't win this Open. Mm. Although obviously it was the course just down the road from him, and he was born there. That's a lot of pressure, I think, playing in your hometown to try and pick up one of the major championships. And, you know, even though he performed really, really well, I wasn't that surprised to see him not lift the claret jug.
Well, another Tour Championship will be a nice back-to-back success for Tommy Fleetwood, certainly for his bank manager as well, you imagine, and he's got every chance by the looks of things as we head into the closing stages of the PGA Tour. Our main focus, though, is going to be on the Rocket Classic in Detroit this week. James has got five picks for this week's tournament, and James, just remind us of those five players.
Yeah, we've got Wyndham Clark, Jake Knapp, Jacob Bridgman, Chandler Phillips and Lucas Glover.
Okay, they are the five selections then for the Rocket Classic. Big thanks to James for his input this week. It's going to be intriguing to see those course changes in Detroit this week, to see just how different the course will be. As James already mentioned, it's gone from a par 72 to a par 70, so maybe not the big hitter's paradise that it's been in recent weeks. Big thanks to you guys as well for watching the show again this week. Make sure you join us all week on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Plenty of racing content for you, of course, with Glorious Goodwood across the week. We'll be back with the Sweet Spot next Tuesday when we preview the Wyndham Championship and the New York Live event as well. Until then, like, comment, share and subscribe. And please remember to gamble responsibly and enjoy your golf this week.